Welcome back. The mystery of salvation. There's a scripture in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 6.
That's right.
If you're a listener of Pastor Moses, if you've heard a lot of his sermons, you would have heard him making mention of this sermon severally, this particular scripture rather, several times, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 6. Albeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
That's right.
Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 7 again says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Hence the topic, the mystery of salvation.
Ooh. Yeah, I know I've heard that they explained several times in the course of your sermon, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of translation, the mystery of godliness. Then now, the mystery of salvation. Is salvation a mystery?
Or why is salvation a mystery?
Yeah, anything that is mysterious, it means it's not revealed.
It's revealed.
That the knowledge of how it comes about is not given, is not revealed, is not discovered, is not known. That makes it a mystery.
Okay.
That's right.
And so, yes, salvation is a mystery. And because it is God's own agenda. The agenda for the salvation of man.
Okay.
And he's keeping this agenda to his chest because it's going to undergo several processes that he alone wants to be in charge of. So he keeps it and reveals it only at the appropriate time. That is why the process of redemption, salvation, you know, is a mystery. That's why one of the attributes of God that I have added to his attributes is that he is the encoder of the mystery of salvation.
And the only decoder.
He is the only decoder of that mystery. Only he can decode it.
So as to answering the question, yes, salvation is a mystery.
Yes.
Okay, now we are asking why it is a mystery. Why is salvation a mystery? Is it because God has kept it close?
It is because it is his own agenda. And he has decided to keep it close to his chest because he will not want man or the enemy to mess it up.
Okay. A scripture says in Revelation 5:11, if I'm not mistaken, thou hast created all things, and they are, and for thy pleasure they were created. Salvation is a mystery. He doesn't want man to mess it up. Is that why it's coded to himself alone?
You also see it in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay.
There is a way he also put it there.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5.
There's a way Apostle Paul, you know, tried to bring this up.
I read. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. According to the good pleasure of his will.
According to the good pleasure of his will.
That's right.
Now, why he says according to the good pleasure of his will, that lets you know it is not questionable.
Okay.
So that you stop questioning me here. it is according to his pleasure. Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, he put it this way. You know, the pot and the clay. Okay, the potter and the clay. You know, why would the clay say, why do you form me this way? The potter can break you and rearrange you. It is for his good pleasure. He owns the clay and he has the idea of what how he wants to form it and he has so determined this agenda.
So are you saying man has no say in this agenda of salvation?
Maybe you had a say over your birth.
No, sir.
Then why do you question God? Or you are questioning? It's for his pleasure.
So, okay, what you are saying is that, okay, let me.
Can man even tamper with God's plan? Can it be spoiled? Because you said so that man will not disrupt the plan. Can it really be tampered with?
It can be tampered with.
Okay, before
man, man, there is a saying that goes this way, that in creation, when God created the earth, the various categories, the animals, those in the sea, and the land, and the air, the birds, you know, no problem. They have remained where they are.
Everything
but it's
very
only
good.
After he created man that his problem started.
That's true.
Oh my God.
And the only reason is because man was created in the image of God.
God.
So the attributes, some attributes
of God
are in man.
Okay.
And one of the attributes is creation, creativity.
Create.
That's what is given back to science. You see, man creating and inventing and creating and inventing. It's an attribute of God. You know, you've imbibed, you got it, inherited
from
it from God.
That's right.
So you can imagine. And then secondly, God gave man will.
The willpower.
And leaves you to walk by your will, exercise your will, while he too has his will.
Okay.
So it is, when we say God, man can tamper, you know, with God's agenda, it's because of, it's be the cause of the exercise of his will. And that is why God is interested in getting the will of man to be subject to his own will. But when man refuses, because man will refuse, will rather choose to walk by his own will, then it produces judgment. It produces judgment because that will make you walk against your maker. And then that is why there is judgment.
Amen. Wow. So in this agenda, Bagheera has even taking us farther than I started from the beginner's class.
I couldn't hold it again because the way you say
in this agenda of ease of God's salvation. So sir, the summary of what you're saying is that man has no say in salvation agenda.
You have no say at all. You have no say at all. Because when you say you have a say, it means like you can help God. No. It is when you go to the university to obtain
a degree.
Do you go and do you have any say concerning the curriculum?
No, you don't choose.
Just
you know, you go and it is what you meet there.
Yes.
You know, before we came, before we are made and placed on this earth, God already has his agenda and we are created to keep the commandments of God. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Man was created, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He said this is the conclusion.
The last verse.
The last verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 12.
Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13.
That's the right. Conclusion of the matter.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments.
We have to keep his commandments.
For this is the whole duty of man.
That is our duty. So your own is to keep the commandments.
Please, sir, still on this question because it sounds heavy.
Very heavy.
When this agenda of ease, when did he write it down or plan it or prepare it? Or is it that
as the day comes? If the morning breaks, then we'll have a new agenda.
Or is this something already, just like you spoke about curriculum in school. We know that in the schools today, there's a curriculum, a scheme of work for the term. So, has God finished everything or is he adding to it?
God has finished. Now, you see, the mystery of salvation is very interesting. I mean, the agenda of salvation. You will understand it from movie production.
Wow.
Now, you only stay and you begin to watch a movie.
That's true.
But there is a producer that has already had the script.
That's right.
First, he has the picture in his mind.
That's true.
Then, he puts it down. Then, he looks for characters that will fit this
Each row.
Each row.
Mm.
And scene one, scene two, scene three, and he has the various characters that he chooses. He chooses. The characters don't come by themselves. He selects them.
That's true.
That's right.
To play the role. And if he selects you, you don't perform it well, he removes you, replaces you. And there are a lot of things that are put in there to produce the picture that he had in mind that gave birth to the script he has put. Now, what we are going through, all of us on earth today, we are only going through the script, playing the script, acting the script that God has already laid down. The reason is this. God himself has been in existence before the earth was existing, before it was created.
That's right.
Because the creator has to be in existence before the creation.
Amen.
So, whatever exists only existed after the creator existed. And now, so we have to know that the creation of man, the creation of man was the beginning of an agenda that will involve man.
Okay.
Because this God that we know, you know, has been existing from only he knows. Because our inability to trace his origin makes us to describe him as
which end of this?
You know, as one that has no beginning.
No beginning.
And has no end, no, because end. It does not grow old, so we will not have end. That's all we can describe, because we do not know his beginning. So we say he has no beginning. And we know him as the creator. So, I mean, we know him as a self-existing. Because we know that no one else created him.
That's right. That's right.
So you will have no mother. He will have no father. He has no lineage. And if he ever had, then he has made sure that man did not know about it. And that must have been some billions or trillions of years ago. Wow. We don't know.
That's right.
Don't know whether he inherited it from someone. But one thing is that he is so much in total control that he keeps emphasizing he shares that glory with no one.
Amen.
So now we have to know that. You know, and that the creation of Adam was the beginning of an agenda
that involves man.
That involved man. So, this agenda, we can now begin to say it because it has played out so far for almost 6,000 years.
That's true.
So, there are things we can say, and he has left a record that we call today the Bible.
Amen.
And left us with insights, pointers that make this picture clearer and clearer and clearer.
Wow.
Because the process of this agenda begins with the question of who is he? You know, we know that God is a self-existing one. And if you go back to the beginning, we call him God. But there was a time he could not be called God because he was not God. And sometimes when people hear us say this, they think that you're trying to reduce him. No, we are going back. It's not blasphemy. You know.
It's revelation.
It's revelation. Because the word God is an English terminology that describes an object of worship.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
And except an object is worshipped, that thing is not God.
Amen.
And if God only existed on his own, he was just an existing spirit, an existing deity, personality, whatever you want to describe, something that existed. But he cannot be God until something worships him.
Amen. That's right.
And that is what we all know today as the reason why he created the angels.
Amen.
The whole duty of angels was just to worship him. so that this attribute of his can be expressed. Now, so this was the self-existing God that had attributes, which included the attribute that desired worship, the attribute of a creator, the attribute of, you know, worship, and the attribute each time. He's so full of these attributes, it is for his own pleasure. And to be able to express these attributes, then he set this agenda. You know, and it has a beginning and it has an end. And this is the way that the scriptures, you know, sometimes put it, like Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay.
You know, that make you begin to think. Like you see, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And maybe verse 4. Verse 3 and verse 4.
Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Yes.
According as he has chosen us in him. Before the foundation
when
of the world.
When did he choose you?
Before the foundation of the world.
So it means he has chosen you even before the creator of Adam. I mean the creation of Adam.
Wow.
Correct?
Okay.
Right. Eh?
From this scripture, it appears so that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
That's what I want to emphasize here. From the beginning, he has chosen us. From the beginning of the world. Now, when you say beginning of the world, which world? Because the beginning of the world is different from the beginning of the earth.
The beginning of the world is different from the beginning of the earth.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you throw a little light on that, sir?
So the world here, the world here is the system that is now existing.
World system.
The world is the system that is now existing, that here now has animals, has vegetation, and has man, has the seas, the waters. All these comprise the world. No, it comprised the world.
Okay.
Because it was, they were created.
Okay.
You know, so. So before this, now he chose us in him before the world
was made.
You know,
we can.
Yes, and this world, when did it begin? It's Genesis chapter 1. World I'm talking about.
That's right.
In the beginning was
God created.
God created the heavens and the earth.
Genesis 1.
And the earth was without form. Now, but the world, then the spirit of, let's read it. So that, I just want to bring out something here so that we
right.
pick it. Today you are picking a very wide topic.
Okay, Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1.
Yes.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Now, that, so something happened.
Yes, sir.
And the whole earth became.
The earth was without form.
Was without form and
void.
Void. So, getting the earth to be form again is the beginning of the world we are talking about.
Okay. That'll be verse 3.
Yes.
And God said, let there be light.
That is where the world referred to from before the beginning of the world. Because when the world was to be rearranged again, it had a beginning. You know, when the earth, I mean, was to be rearranged again, it formed this world we are talking about. You know, and now he chose us in him before
Genesis 1:3.
Before Genesis 1:3. The process of rearranging the world again, he was rearranging it to place man to be in charge.
Hallelujah.
So that is what the picture we catch.
So we were chosen in him before Genesis chapter 1 verse 3.
Exactly.
That's right.
Okay. Well, this will lead us to further questions, but not to extend these thoughts to for a very long period.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was created for his purpose. It's his own agenda. That's why he hid it.
That's why he made it a mystery.
And like you said, he doesn't want man helping him.
Yeah.
But somebody will ask, so how do you know?
Yes, sir. So how do you truly know?
How do I know? It's in the Bible. First Corinthians chapter 2.
Okay, where we just read.
If you continue that reading.
Okay. I stopped at verse 8. Let me start from verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew.
Uh-huh.
For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Uh-huh.
But as it is written,
I
had not seen, nor yet heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him.
Now, see the answer to your question. How do I know?
But God had revealed them unto us.
So, because he's the only one that can give the revelation.
Amen.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Yes.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him?
Uh-huh.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God.
Mm.
Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
You see?
Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judge of no man. For who had known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?
But we have the mind of Christ.
So it is,
you see, the great privilege we have when you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. So that is
how we are the ones.
How we know.
By the Spirit. You are the one on the hot seat. Not we, now it's you.
That is how we. When I say we, I mean we, the bride of Christ.
Okay.
Not you, the journalist. We.
Okay, sir. Yes, still, because we are treating this interesting topic, which will lay a foundation to so many things. Now, this leads us to a question. But before I ask this question, John 3:16.
That's right.
A very, very popular scripture that every believer knows. This scripture is our
every
answer.
Child, every child knows this scripture.
For God so loved the world.
That's right.
That he gave his only begotten
Son. Begotten
that whosoever believeth in him
should not
perish, but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever. My question is salvation for all?
It's a very interesting question.
Mm.
I've learned not to just drop the light. You know when you want to shine a light, you don't shine it on the person's face. It's blinding you.
That's true.
But the truth is, salvation is for all who have been predestinated through God's foreknowledge.
Okay.
Salvation is
for all who have been predestinated by God. Or rather, who have been selected by God himself. Because let me leave you to ask me the question.
Mm-hmm.
Let me not answer your questions in advance.
Who have been selected by God.
Who have been selected by God. The word, the scriptural word is elected by
elected.
God.
Elected, yes.
Another word is who have been ordained by God.
Chosen by God.
Who are chosen by God.
Okay.
Yes. They are for all. And those who have been chosen by God is all that God has given Christ will come to him.
Come to him.
That's salvation for all of them, but not for the whole world.
But God created every human being now. You as a message believer,
but
Abraham taught us that Satan is not a creator.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if all life came from God,
yes.
Are you saying God created some people and said, no, you go to hell?
And selected some. And selected some and left some.
That would make God wicked, isn't it?
Definitely.
Very wicked.
But now, does God know everything?
Yes.
He does, sir.
He's omniscient.
Eh?
Yes.
Right.
Now, you ask the question too. Did God know the day he was creating Adam?
Mm-hmm.
The day he was creating the serpent,
mm.
did God know that serpent will spoil the agenda.
He knew, but why will he be asking Adam or asking Eve, where are you? Who did this? He was asking.
No, let's just answer the pastor's questions and follow him.
Did he know?
Yes, because he's all knowing. Okay, I believe he does.
He's all knowing. Even he knows you'll be here this evening.
That's true. Very correct.
He knows that you'll be here this evening. Before your mother married your father.
That's right.
He knew you'll be here.
That's true.
Okay.
That's right.
I mean, is there anything that takes God by surprise?
No, sir.
No. Mm-hmm. You know, what God does, like, he asks Adam, Adam, where are thou?
Yeah,
is it like he didn't know where you are? Now, there is a way God descends to the level of man and communicates with man so that man will understand him.
Mm.
And when he says, Adam, where are thou? He's actually telling Adam, see your condition now. We are running away from me now. Can you run from me? After all, you're not hearing my voice now. You know, and you'll notice the way the discussion went. Because it's important, you know, that...
Genesis 3.
Yes, 3. Verse 9.
Okay, Genesis 3, 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Has thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not
eat? So does it mean that God does not know that he has eaten? That's why he's asking him that question.
God knows.
He knows.
It's trying to tell you, you see why you are in the estate that you are in. That's all.
Hallelujah.
Now, did God know he will eat of that tree and still left that tree there?
He's all knowing.
Now, all these things are set in there to fulfill his agenda in the script he has put down.
Amen.
For the process of expressing his attributes. That is why he left Adam and put him there. If you notice, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 and verse 20.
Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Now verse 20 is my emphasis.
For the creature was made subject to vanity.
The creature, all of us, we are made subject to vanity.
Not willingly.
Yes.
But by reason of him who has subjected the same.
Who is he that subjected this?
That would be God. That would be
God. So already, God designed man to fall.
Wow.
He's taking note of
God
that.
God designed man to fall.
God designed, designed man to fall.
God.
That is why he placed these two trees there.
Amen.
So that the agenda will work very well. This is an opportunity for him to express an attribute of father-son relationship.
An attribute of being
and that is why Adam is referred to as the son of God.
That's right.
The angels are not having that kind of relationship with him.
That's true, sir.
So now you can imagine a father and a son. He did not create the son solely to worship him like the angels, but to relate with him as a father and a son. And the authority he gave man, he didn't give it to the angels. He gave the whole earth, all that he owned, he gave it to man.
That's right.
Now, but this man that he created, this Adam that is created, will need to fall for him to express the attribute of a savior in him. Remember, it is a script. He created this according to his good pleasure. Because God has the ability to have stopped everything at once. He allowed it because he was going to play a script for his own good. And remember, for his good pleasure, remember that I always say something here that This agenda that is going on ends in 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 25 to verse 28. This is where the whole program is going to end. I know it's very quickly, that's the narration, I mean, of how it will end.
That's right.
You know, Apostle Paul cut it.
Cut it, that's true, sir.
Now, the question that comes to me is, when all things are now put under him, you know, and everything comes back to God, how it was supposed to be, the question is, I say, then what next? The next agenda may follow again. Now, this earth is millions of years in existence.
Millions of years.
You know, science.
Yes, science.
You know, so we only know the history for the past
6,000
years. Before something happened and there was a void, we don't know how long that took place.
That's true.
When we're hearing there was even a time, angels that were judged, they were sent down here. They were pushed down here. Then man was not existing here. So, from the look of things, you know, we are seeing science is discovering
fossils
of right. animals, fossils that, you know, predates man.
That's right.
You know, it predates man.
That's true.
So that means there was a time that was an animal civilization, kingdom here. They were judged. So before the animal, what else was here? You understand?
Wow. The questions keep coming.
So the questions keep coming.
That's true.
You know, so and these things come and pass, but he remained who he is.
Okay.
So I call the earth is God's laboratory.
Amen.
For God to express whatever he wants to do. It's a laboratory. He does whatever he wants to do. And remember that while you are thinking we are 6,000
years
since Adam. He's just saying we're 6 days. So imagine you are in a laboratory. You know, making an experiment, just 6 days. So now, so we have to catch it, you know, start, you know, this background knowledge is important.
Yes, sir.
Upon which we build the remaining.
Understanding of salvation.
You know, yes. So here is man that fell. That is why we have the word salvation. Salvation comes from the word salvage. And you don't talk about salvage until something that was perfect, you know, is distorted, is disturbed, you know, almost like beyond, you know, in a helpless situation, then it is salvaged, you know, brought back, cleaned up, taken care of, and then beautified again. Then also, we have another word we commonly use called redemption.
Redemption, that's
now,
true, sir.
Now, the word redemption does not come up until there is the property you own, it belonged to you originally, and something happens, you lose it.
Yes.
The process of getting it back to yourself is called redemption. And when we say Christ is our redeemer, then you also understand why 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Apostle Paul says, Christ is the wisdom of God, the power of God.
Amen.
Now, but because it is Christ that God used to redeem man back to himself. Now, salvation is not for all because it's not for the whole human beings on earth because the process of salvation comes by a foreknowledge.
So remember, a little pause.
Yes.
A little pause there.
Yes.
Salvation is not for all. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Salvation is not for every human being on earth.
Not for every human being on earth.
Wow.
It's not for every human being
on
earth.
It's a very heavy statement, sir.
Yes, it's not. Now, but because, now let me just tell you this, you know, because we get the key like this. Because maybe when I talk, somebody will say, you are talking, you are using man's wisdom. You are using intellectualism. You are using this. I always like scriptures to talk.
That's true.
Now, we know that in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, that is where the call was made.
Yes, sir.
Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you
rest.
And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, God is not happy at the death of a sinner.
That's right.
But let me even quote one to you in 1 Timothy. I says he wills that all men should be saved.
That is his desire.
That's 1 Timothy 2:4.
Uh-huh. That's right.
3 and 4.
Yes, read it.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
Amen.
Who will have all men to be saved.
Be saved.
And to come unto the knowledge of the
knowledge
truth.
Of the truth. That's right.
You see, now because there's something let's look at the scripture. He said, come.
Yes, sir.
All of you that
labor and heavy laden,
come. Mm-hmm. But that you will notice in John chapter 6,
okay,
verse 44.
Amen.
John chapter 6, verse 44.
Yes,
I read,
amen.
No man can come to me,
okay,
except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
He said, what? Read it again.
No man can come to me,
but he said, come to me,
that's true.
All ye that labor and are heavy laden.
I will give you rest.
And I will give you rest. And the same Jesus who said, come to me, is quickly saying that no man can come to me
except
the Father
which has sent me to draw him.
Draw you. So it simply means if you are saved today, it is the Father that has drawn you to Christ.
So if you are unsaved today,
if you die without Christ, the Father didn't. So it's salvation for all.
No, by that.
By that,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
You already agree with the pastor.
By this analogy,
I still have some questions to make.
Now, because you also, discover that he said, how did he put this scripture? No man. No, he first said.
Come.
Who do men say I am the Son of Man?
Okay.
Yes.
Matthew 16.
Do you people know who Jesus is?
Mm.
You see? Then, if you go to that same John chapter 6, verse 64 and 65.
Okay. John chapter 6, verse 64 and 65.
Yes.
But there are some of you that believe not.
Mm-hmm.
For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not,
uh-huh,
and who should betray him.
Uh-huh.
And he said, therefore said I unto you,
uh-huh,
that no man can come unto me except it were given unto
except
him of my Father.
Except it were given unto him
of my Father.
Of my Father.
Mm.
Was he not talking to religious people?
That's right.
But they did not believe him. They just could not believe him. And he's telling you, the reason you can't believe me is because it's not given to you by my Father.
Because salvation is not for all.
Because salvation is not for all. Then you went to Matthew 13. There was a question that was asked from verse 9.
Okay.
After he finished the parable of the sower.
That's right.
Let's read it from verse 9 down. Yes.
Okay. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Uh-huh.
And the disciples came and said unto
Thank
him,
you.
Why speakest thou unto them in parables?
Why is he always talking to people?
Parables.
Generality of the people. Why is he always talking to them in parables?
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Who gave it to them? The Father.
Said the Father.
To know the mystery
of the kingdom.
Of the kingdom.
Kingdom of heaven.
Uh-huh. But
to them it is not given.
Uh-huh.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given.
Mm. Now you see? So is God partial?
Mm.
Now, Mark brought that narration, clearer.
Okay.
After the parable.
Okay, Mark 4.
Yes.
Okay, Mark 4.
Now the same thing if from verse 9 again.
From verse 9.
Yes.
Mark chapter 4 from verse 9. Yes. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable.
Uh-huh.
And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
But unto them that without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them.
So it means there are some people that should not be converted.
Wow.
That is why it is a mystery.
Mm.
So that their sins will not be forgiven them, so that they will be destroyed. And then he went further, verse 33.
Mark 4,
33 and 34.
Okay, Mark chapter. Okay, verse 33 and 34 of Mark chapter 4.
Yes.
And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, mm-hmm. as they were able to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But without a parable spake he not unto them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples.
So he had two groups of people.
Yeah, that he was talking to, yes. Disciples.
So he had people, mm-hmm. he would decode the meaning of the parable. Those other ones, he leaves them to do their own interpretation themselves. Mm-hmm. Is God partial?
It seems so.
No.
Now, go again. Now, I will let you know that he's not partial.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Now, go again to Acts, on the day of Pentecost.
Okay, Acts.
You know, on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 2, yes, sir.
Now, if you go to Acts chapter 2, there is, on the day of, there's a commentary there in verse 46.
Okay, Acts 2:46.
Yes. Mm. You know, 3,000 of them were baptized that day that they came in,
mm-hmm.
and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And then he reads on, and then verse 46.
And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Mm-hmm. Verse 47 now. Praising God and having favor with all the people.
Now,
and the Lord added to the church daily such as should,
be saved.
Read that last sentence again.
And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
So who was the one adding to the church?
The Lord.
Right.
Who was he adding?
Such as should be saved.
Now, there's another language used in Acts chapter 13 concerning the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 48.
Mm, precept, sir, are you saying God is not partial?
No.
Verse 48. Okay. Acts 13, verse 48.
Yes.
And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
Ordained.
As many as were ordained to eternal life.
So if you are not ordained, you will not believe.
Wow.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Now, but why will God ordain some and not ordain them?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29.
Romans 8:28-29. Okay. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Now, the next verse 29 lets us know who he calls.
Whom he saves.
Who he calls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because he said, come to me, that's the call.
That's the call.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
For whom he did foreknow.
Now, foreknowledge. Whom he did foreknow. He did what?
He also did predestinate.
So, their destination, their end, as far as salvation is concerned, was determined before they were even existed, before they ever existed.
They were created.
For while we were yet sinners,
Christ died. Amen.
He already made provision. But people think that he just came on a wild goose chase. He just come in and I beg and I give
as
you a life now.
Can,
I beg now. No. He said, because there's another attribute of God, you know, of omniscience.
Amen.
That knoweth all things.
All knowing.
All knowing. So, by foreknowledge of what?
Yes, sir. Foreknowledge of what?
Foreknowledge of what? This is what I have tried. And, you know, the same thing, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2.
Okay.
You see?
This is elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the
again.
Blood of
elect.
Jesus Christ. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God
so,
the Father.
So, that foreknowledge is my emphasis. Of what we are ordained, we are elected.
That's true.
And then, take note that this ordination is when were we ordained? So, when?
From the foundation of the world.
Ephesians chapter 1 says so. Verse 4 says so.
We read that today.
Okay. So we were already called. So the question is, did God save you the day you made the altar call? No. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. from the beginning. Remember that we say it is a script that God is writing.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's playing out.
Yes.
A script he has written that he's playing out.
He's producing his movie.
And all the characters are already known to him just at the appropriate time. Just like David. We know who is the one that built the temple.
Solomon.
Mm-hmm. We don't know David. It's Solomon. We know the builder is Solomon.
That's true.
But remember that the stones were already prepared.
By David. That's true.
Even the design.
Before the design and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was only playing it. So when was that temple built?
In the days of David.
Was it in the days of Solomon or the day of David?
The days of David.
That is salvation playing out there. That is salvation playing out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that the day that Christ arrested you, that is why he said, all the Father giveth me, all the Father had, pastors giveth me, shall come to me. The stones were prepared by David. So all that, when it is time for this to be here, he just arrests you at the time.
Right.
Unless this stone is needed, it has nothing to do with you yet. You can go ahead and be smoking Igbo. Governor, I see your eyes. And you can go ahead and smoke your Igbo, take Tramadol and Codeine. No problem.
My God.
But if you are among those that have been prepared, the stone, because remember, we are lively stones.
Amen.
It will just carry you when he holds you. He's bringing you to that building of that temple, the New Jerusalem, the soon coming city.
Amen.
Heavenly Jerusalem. He fixes you there. That is what salvation is all about. That is what confuses people. And they cannot identify who is actually saved and who is actually not saved. That's why I see some people struggling with ministry. My ministry is not great. My ministry is, I just say, are you sure you are not predestinated? Did you try to fix yourself there? Or he's the one that took you and fitted you there? When he fits you there, he fits you there. Amen. When God calls you, there is no stress. Because he knows what to do with you to fit you there. It's not about you, because you ask the question, does man have any part to play? The only part you have to play is availability. It's a faithfulness. It's sincerity. It's obedience. That's all. You can't help God. Now, so you notice that this foreknowledge, we're talking about foreknowledge.
That's true, sir.
The law that says the soul that sinner shall die. God, in creating Adam, created also serpent. Knew that through serpent, man will fall.
That's true.
Therefore, man, you know, will be totally separated from him. Satan will take over the dominion of this earth. Man knew it. God knew it. But nobody, no demon, can defeat the purpose of God.
Hallelujah.
God was going to claim back his thing, but through a process. Now, in his foreknowledge, he had looked ahead and see the over 6 billion human beings that will come through Adam and Eve. 6 billion. And all of them are heading to hell. Because hell was created for Lucifer and all the disobedient.
That's right.
So, but Lucifer, he said he will not go alone. Some of these, your creatures, will go with me. And before you know what, God is looking at him. You will not go with everybody. In his foreknowledge, he made a provision. He sees that he will make a provision. He will atone for their sins through a provision he will make for the law of redemption. He will buy them back. There are two groups of people out of these 6 billion human beings on earth that are there going to hell. There's one group there. We all remember he created and gave us our will.
Yes, that's right, sir.
Okay? Give us. You choose whatever you like to do. That's why he didn't force Cain. He only told him, do as you want to do better. Cain chose to use his own will. And the Spirit of God will not strive
with
man. If this is where you want to go, He said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man.
The anger of destruction.
So you have to, as a man thinketh. So we all have the will. And God allowed that. So that you take responsibility for your actions. We are not robots. Mm. God did not create man to be robot. He created and leave you with a will to recognize him. It's just like a father. When you've given birth to a child, you can only, lord over him to a certain age. Mm-hmm. Now, he can choose later on to even disown you. Mm. And you know that would be funny. You know, no matter what he says, he still remains your son because your blood is running in him.
That's true.
But then, there's nothing you can do. You only be there with pain at his behavior.
That's true.
You know, and as, no matter how much how influential you are, if he chooses to go the negative way, there is nothing you can do.
That's true.
You know, you will end up where his will has taken him to. He will, but he will not blame you. Because you have given him the law of life and the law of death. You choose which one you want to choose.
It is choice.
But in his knowledge, he knows what you will choose. Mm-hmm. And then it ignited another attribute of God, mercy. If I reveal myself to this one, if I reveal myself to this one, he will, no matter what I came, he will not listen to me. But this other one, if I just reveal myself small to him, his heart will come to me. Since this one will listen to me and follow me and come back to me, mercy projected.
Hallelujah.
And he said, no, let me make a provision to save him.
Okay.
So, he knows through foreknowledge, he has what the Bible referred to as the book of life. Mm-hmm. And he put all those names.
Sir, we'll pause you.
No, I'm coming. It is only those who through foreknowledge he have penned down in a book for those who will be saved, known as the book of life. Life, there is eternal life. They are the ones all will be saved. But not all the world will be saved because not all the world will believe.
Only those whose names are in the book of life
so
will be saved.
So why does he draw you and does not draw another man? He draw you because he knows if he draw you, you will agree.
You will come.
This one, if he draw you, you will not come. Mm. So what he does is, he leaves you, the two of you are saying together, he sends men, go and preach the gospel. Mm. Go and preach the gospel to prove what he already knows. You see, this one believe. Mm. This one refuses to believe. Then he now saves you through foreknowledge. Therefore, salvation is only all who he have predestinated and elected, chosen through his foreknowledge, he has elected and chosen.
Okay. Pardon me, sir. I don't want us to rush it. That's why I said we'll pause you there. Okay, we'll pause on these notes and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.